Welcome to Boulder, Colorado. We're at the River House with a renowned author for conscious relationships, Mr. E.
Welcome, 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 everyone. We are live at the River House Mystery School, and what wants to happen right now?
That is a fantastic question,
isn't it?
So, Mr. E, let's cut to the chase.
Let's make some introductions here.
Okay, let's not cut to the chase for the moment.
Not quite yet.
Right, so, Michelle, who is known as Beth, introduce yourself.
My name is Michelle. Tonight I've been referred to as Beth numerous times. And I am a guest here at the house, and I live in Denver, but hanging out in Boulder for a few days.
Fantastic. And you've got a passion for San Diego, have you?
I do have a passion for San Diego. I love the water, and I love the beach, and that is where I hope to be one day.
That's fantastic. And we have a river flowing outside the house.
Yes. Trickling now in the middle of winter.
With the snow that's falling beautifully.
Yeah.
So, Mr. E, why did you start this house? Why did you start the mystery school?
You know, it's a bigger question.
Okay.
Yeah, why did the mystery school start me?
That's a great question.
Yeah, right?
I love that question.
Uh-huh. So, I was living in a community house in North Boulder. You know it well.
I do.
Yeah, the Sky Temple.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And you might remember, the sheriff showed up at the door and told us we had to hightail it out of there.
I do remember.
You do remember that, yes. Well, on that very same day, I discovered that the River House was available, and of course, I had lived here one time before. So through this terrific serendipity and unfortunate encounter with the sheriff, I ended up back at this house, which was the place that I had published the Evolutionary Guidebook from, and was beloved land of my heart. And one day, I just was here.
Mm.
And when this occurred to me, I had $8 and quarters to my name and an eighth of a tank of gas. And I had gotten my quarters out of my wishing well that we had built at the Sky Temple. You remember the wishing well?
The wishing well was a very powerful bit of magic.
Oh, yes, a very powerful bit of magic. So, I got excited that I was moving back here, and you know, I had to make some money, so I put some ads in Craigslist for landscaping, and I went out and got a little crew, and we started landscaping, and I had all these jobs, and I was in a garden working on somebody's yard, and I was making it beautiful, and I was doing my thing, which I love to do with the land, and I heard a voice, and it said, "Start a mystery school."
Wow.
And put your E on the end of it. And it was the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. You know, the great mystery schools of Egypt, and we still have some mystery schools, some very well-established ones here, Dom and Her. You know, when you hear of mystery school, tremendous amount of respect, mm-hmm. tremendous amount of gratitude, tremendous amount of like almost like awe, recognition of these people that have dedicated their lives to being the carriers of the codes, the carriers of the secrets, the carriers of what we can now utilize in humanity for the empowerment of all people and the return of health to our lands and our ecology. So then to take the mystery out of it and put the Mr. E on it, so mm-hmm. it's now identified with my name, E, then sort of puts a public face on a mystery school, which, you know, for a guy with $8 and quarters, that's a big step.
Right.
So without knowing what the mystery school was, I sketched out what I imagined it to be and moved into this house and started this community, and now we do Airbnb and have these beautiful guests from, we've had eight different people, eight different countries represented. You're probably the ninth. I hadn't thought about that, but you know, we've just had people come here and have these extraordinary experiences. And so the why did I start the mystery school is now only emerging 2 years later, which is we're having an impact on people's lives, and it's not in a way that's explainable to someone. It's not in a way that we can prove with any kind of rationale. Mm. It's really a mystery, and our curriculum here still is not established. It's something that's coming in every day, but creating art and having impact on people's lives in that tangible reflection of people who are saying thank you. Mm. It's just this amazing journey.
Yeah, so I've seen the changes over the last few years at the Mystery School as I've been visiting and spending time with you. And what I'm really excited about at the moment is this new form of art that you're building.
Mm.
Can you talk about that new form of art with rocks and wood and altars and studios and things?
Yeah, so I really feel like, the vision that I've seen here for this community, which has been seen by many other people in the community, it's not my vision, it's a vision of the land we feel. But I always knew when I started Mystery School that I was going to invite some artists to live on the land and with me, and that all I knew what we were going to do is we were going to presence one another and look at each other in our eyes in our highest potentiality. Mm-hmm. That we were going to continue to look at the people that were in our space regardless of what they did.
Right.
You know, of being in their gift and encouraging that gift to come out, and then taking a few pages out of the evolutionary guidebook and utilizing that process when we all got together once a week to clear the heart space so that we could then flow into in harmony together. And you know, when you're in that harmonic space and it really happens in feeling, and so people just kind of, the to-do lists aren't really needed. You don't need chore lists, you know. It's like everybody's just kind of working together and it's all flowing and it's happening, you know. Mm-hmm. Creative, dynamic, open space, I call that. So that's what we've created here, is creative, dynamic, open space, which is this place where things just happen. I mean, it's like serendipity.
Right.
And we've all been to magical places in life, and we've all had moments in our life where that just happens. And we're making that more of an occurrence of a moment-to-moment existence rather than something that just happens to us every once in a while.
Right.
And so what we've done then is, in our artistry, we have been exploring our gifts in that. And I've written some books, and we've started a band here and a school for gifted children. And recently, what really took it to the next level, to answer your question directly, is that we built a temple. And the temple, the base of the temple, was built with a star tetrahedron in the middle, perfect sacred geometry. And it was something I'd never done before. I'd done some carpentry, and Tom Bowman, who I call my chief alchemist here, designed this thing, six-sided. We call it the beehive, and then we laid down the honeycomb, seven honeycombs on top of it in the wood for the floor, and then we put a yurt on top of it. Now we have this extraordinary temple. And we're having extraordinary ceremonies in the temple. And if you want to change your life, Matthew, build a temple to the goddess. I mean, it works wonders. So as you know, I've got altars all over the land. This whole land has been, we work with the feng shui master, Ronnie, who helps us in the art of placement. I do a lot of chanting. I have the labyrinth out in there. Mm. That's a sacred geometrical thing. So we've been playing with sacred geometry for a long time. And, you know, now we're buying this place and we're turning this into, you know, a permanent fixture for the community. And there's a responsibility that goes with that. And with that responsibility is to really up your game and your art and your expression and your owning who you are and what you have. What's your magic? What's your power? You know, how are you shifting things? And so the inspiration of building the beehive and that sacred geometry that went in there, we recognize that we can build some altars and some coffee tables and some other furniture with the same geometry and put crystals in them and do the same ceremonies around sound and vibration and teach people how to use altars and how to use these things to really utilize their full potential. Because as you know, there's so much happening in the unseen world that we forget when we get in this stressful sort of cookie cutter existence that we have in this culture, right? And when we start to open up and utilize some of these things, you know, we gain a higher perspective, and we call in this unseen ability that we have, this unseen power. It's not power over anything, it's empowerment, so that we thrive and everybody can thrive.
So that sounds heavenly.
Heavenly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds, if I'm going to use a word, that sounds heavenly.
So we have people who come here, you see, and it's all done by the gift. And the Airbnb guests pay their nightly fee for lodging. But everybody that comes to this space, I always saw this space as being a place for someone who could come to, who was either stepping into their gift somewhere on the hero's journey. Maybe right. They were confused, lost, whatever it was. Maybe they were broke. I mean, a lot of people going through this change in heart consciousness are broke.
Mm.
You know, that's what they think anyway. You know, and they knew how to play with money in the third dimensional realm. All of a sudden, their heart opens. It's like, what do I do now? This new gift is coming out of me. I can't really go sit under a fluorescent light anymore, and I want to express myself, and that's really the only desire I have. So this is a place where people can come, and there's nobody with a handout saying, in order to be here, you have to pay a certain amount of money. You know, we've created this space here for people to come and have an experience.
Mm.
And it's not based on any kind of value that anybody sets. And then in their experience, people gift back to us. So we gift our presence to the community, to the Airbnb guests, and then as they're inspired, they gift back to us. And you'll notice the artwork that hangs here, and most of the food that we eat, and a lot of the things that are springing up, the beehive being one of them, was we had somebody who gave a gift. The artwork that we're doing in the garage right now, the stone statues, we're calling them stone stacks, are got initiated by a man who came up from Austin, a man named Stephen, beautiful man. He said, this is what you need to do, and I'm going to give you $1,000 to get it started, you know, and he gets it, you know, and so does Ronnie, and so does some of the other people who've come here. Amanda, you know, who understand that when they put money into something and it goes into the vibration of the land and comes out as this creative project and then goes out to touch people, that all lives are blessed. The artist, the person that gave the money to fund it, the people who receive it, and then who give back. And so what we're doing here at the Mystery School is representing a new way of, and I say a new way, but an evolved way of commerce, which is, you know, we've heard about pay it forward. You know, and that's what we're doing here at the Mystery School in kind of a different way. But, you know, the revenues here are split a third between the artist that created it, a third goes to the community, and then a third goes into a fund to then fund new art endeavors and new artists. And so that's the way we're doing it. So we're not looking for a return on investment on anything. We're just creating art and putting it out there as a gift and allowing people to gift back and creating this regenerative economy here, and then creating gardens so that we're sustainable with our food source.
Mm.
And we started the school, and we're buying the house next door, put the school there so that we've got children here, and then really begin to build community around us so that we're well represented with the elders and people of the local community, and, you know, people from Boulder and people coming and going. I really like that we're a hub of consciousness, that people land here and they see what's possible and they're pollinated, if you will.
Right.
And then they go out and they do it in their own, they're inspired to do it in their own life.
So that sounds like it's a new form of conscious commerce, sustainable commerce, if you like, and sustainable consciousness.
Yeah.
That is not only helping individuals to self-actualize or to self-evolve to a higher level, but also, you know, it also has physical blessings associated with it, such as financial return.
Yeah.
Which is really quite interesting.
Yeah.
And spirituality and financial return are not really talked about that much in my opinion anyway, in a heart-centered way.
So let's talk about that for a second. I've always felt that if we are teaching about divine love consciousness, or that we're sharing divine love consciousness, and that's not an unconditional consciousness, that's a divine love consciousness.
Right.
And there are no conditions in a divine love consciousness. But even to say unconditional, you're calling condition into the consciousness. Yeah. So you that's a meaningless word. But in divine love consciousness, it's already here. Everything is already provided for everyone. It already exists that way. That is the state of grace that this earth was in before we came and adopted shame and sin and some of the other things you brought up in the last podcast. Right. And so, if I have my hand out for someone for spiritual counseling, before we even open our mouths, I'm out of divine consciousness into the conditional consciousness. And so I've always felt like my presence is a gift, and your presence is a gift, and your presence is a gift, and everyone is a gift. Mm. And when you're fully in your own gift, and you've allowed the blueprint of your soul to manifest itself through your heart, so that you're really doing what you came here to do, then it all just works out for you.
Right.
In a way that you don't have to push. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what we're doing here. We're creating that kind of space so people can come and have an experience. People don't have their hand out. You never know what you're going to run into. You might end up on a radio show.
You may end up on a radio show. That's exactly
right. And we've had people come here and just... people have landed on ceremony days. People have landed here when I'm out of town. I mean, you just can never tell what's going to happen. So why don't you share, Michelle, about what your experience is. And just to tee it up a little bit, I want to say that...
Yeah.
3 days ago, we didn't know each other existed. Something like that.
Yeah, I would say about 3 days ago.
3 days ago, right?
Yeah, I'll call it 3 days.
That's right. And, so you just showed up here and you've been here, and take it from there.
Yeah. So I found this place on Airbnb, and this was actually, and I don't think you even know this yet, this was my second option. And my first place I originally made reservations for never got back to me. So I found this place in Boulder, showed up at like midnight, and I could not see a single thing, but just felt this like amazing peace and calm over me, like from the moment I met E, and it was just magical. And like, it was just this great place of like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I came out here because I needed a minute. I needed to recharge my batteries. I needed to find intention for the year and just remember why I do the things that I do. And it's just been amazing ever since. I got to spend like an hour and a half in the Beehive doing yoga and meditation and journaling and reading and just really gathering some thoughts and just really allowing myself to like sit still and like hear the universe and just open my heart to these possibilities and these dreams that I have been kind of thinking about in Denver, but never been able to really sit down and think about them. And then go in and walk, like, I don't know, 2 minutes to a trailhead and go on a 4-ish mile hike and come back. And now I'm here on a radio show. And none of this, I had no expectations for what this...
So it's 10:41 p.m. You've been here less than 24 hours.
Yes. Yes. And I am on a radio show. I have had amazing conversation with individuals that I've even known for less time than that. And what has been magical is I was sitting over by the river, listening to the river, and just there was just this great moment where I truly saw the community of this place. And I saw numerous people kind of come and go. They were, I don't know what they were doing over by the Beehive, and kids were running around, and horses suddenly appeared. And it's been a great place that I felt welcomed and comfortable, and have just had these experiences that I never thought would happen. So I would recommend it to anybody that just needs a minute, needs to gather their thoughts, maybe is confused about their walk and their journey that they're on. Come here. You will find a way, and you will be recharged, and you will meet amazing people. it will be something that you tell your friends about and that you walk away with just clarity. and motivation.
Wow. We did talk about earlier on the previous radio show about the divine masculine taking time out for itself in order to engage the divine feminine and the divine masculine loving itself. And here we have a great example of the divine feminine actually loving itself and taking a time out. And that's great. Yeah, that's really good to hear. And allow that dance between that goes within ourselves, between the masculine and the feminine, just to resynchronize.
So on the phone call that I had between the two shows that we did, I was in a beautiful conversation with a friend who introduced another friend who's like a lot of people in this world right now, like life is challenging them. Been married for a while, kids in school, nannies, got jobs. It's like, what are we doing here? How's it? And you know, I'm working this in order to have that, in order to look like that, and I'm tired. You know, that's what she was saying, right? And we all know that cycle. Mm-hmm. We've been in that cycle before, and so I said to her, I said, so when do you start celebrating your life falling apart, so that you can discover the life that's waiting for you now?
Mm-hmm. God, blimey, that sounds like Joseph Campbell.
And it is. I mean, it's not even mine, right? It's just this question that came up, and I said, just write that down on your refrigerator. Like, when am I going to start celebrating my life as my life? It doesn't have to be about anything else, you know, and really allowing my gift to shine. Mm. How are we going to change our perspective? It's just like, you know what? We got to start asking questions and letting consciousness give us the answers. You know, the old way of doing things is to let the mind figure it out. But because the mind is in a mirror, it can't see the whole picture. You know, you have to have the heart. Right. You have to have the heart involved to see the whole mosaic. So we ask these questions and we open the mind. We just leave them open. We're not even trying to answer them. We just see them. They're just hanging around. So how can we find ourselves in an ocean of questions? And just allow that to just be this openness that happens. But I feel like a lot of people, Matthew and Michelle, are in life right now and they can't see a way out. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like they're not really doing what they love. They're making just enough money. It's like, how do I get out of this cycle, this treadmill of life, and really get into my passion?
Or follow my bliss.
Yeah, get into something that feels so good that you just wake up every day and go, cha-cha-cha. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really. Yeah. I mean,
We need cha-cha-cha moments.
We need cha-cha. More
yeah. So that's fascinating. So basically, are you saying that actually... part of the discovery of evolutionary flow and consciousness is actually rediscovering our passions.
Yeah.
What lights us up?
I'm saying you're never going to change the world or yourself without inspiration.
Right. That makes sense.
And it's allowing yourself to have those passions and to follow those passions. Because I think some people feel those passions and know where they are, but because of the fear of potential career change or financially what that's going to look like, we don't allow ourselves to follow those inspirations and passions. It's giving ourselves permission for that.
I think giving ourselves permission or letting ourselves off the hook, as you keep on saying. I think that's the big thing.
You know what it is? It's the expectation fields. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting blasted off the television and out of the radio, and we see them on the billboards, and when we go shopping, I mean, it's just expectation. You know, we look at other people's cars. There's societal expectations, parental expectations, personal expectations, you know. So I got a question for you, Matthew. You ready for this one?
Far away.
What is the difference between expectation and fantasy?
Cool, blimey. Wow. That is a very interesting question. So, gosh, I'm not sure how to answer that, to be honest. I'll be honest with you. I'm actually dumbfounded.
You have stumped him.
And you, how would you answer?
Repeat the question for me. Give me a second and repeat the question.
What is the difference between expectation and fantasy?
And I would love your feedback around this. This is like the first, like I, when I think of fantasy, I think of dreams and really thinking out of the box and really following your heart, where expectations, like you were talking about, I feel like is more of what society says that I should be doing, where fantasy, I feel like, has more to do with inspiration and passions.
That's interesting.
That's a great answer.
So I think that, so fantasy could be assigned to realities. So there's obviously different types of fantasy. So I'm assuming you're talking about maybe imagining what my blissful life would look like. Now, that could be seen as a fantasy, but actually we can set that reality if it's in line with our divine purpose, that our higher self has called in for this particular life. Now that gets interesting, because that then that lights us up, we align with our passions, and then realities start to be created. If we're referring to some form of sexual fantasy, well, you know, there's a message in that, right? There might be an invitation into something.
Careful where you put your energy.
Right, exactly, which is what we've been talking about before.
Right.
I think I agree with Michelle on expectations. I think it's expectations that we've been programmed within us, mm-hmm. and we get bombarded, as you said, E, from society, in mm-hmm. saying, you need to look like this, you need to wear these clothes, you need to have this car, you need to have this home, you need to have this many children, right? And you need to have this sort of prestige. And that takes us back to the Golden Buddha, which, you know, Joseph Campbell talks about when we're born. We're all seeing, all knowing, all enlightened, and with this Golden Buddha. And as we progress from children into adults, we get all this mud that cakes us of expectations from society. You're not good enough to do this. You can't do that. You need money for this. Whatever it may be, and actually it restricts us and constrains us. So as we align with our passions, which may come through our fantasies or maybe come through other means, then this cake, this mud drops off us, and the Golden Buddha starts to emerge again, and then anything's possible, and everything's possible. And as we start, and you talked about serendipity earlier, and the miraculous, you know, basically as we start walking in those passions in our hero's journey, then miracles and serendipity come into play, and the rules are different, completely different. So do you have a poem in your new book that we might be able to share with our listeners?
Yeah, it's entitled Fantasy.
Oh, that helps.
How about that? And I wasn't really speaking about either one of the ways you guys sort of interpreted fantasy. I was really speaking about fantasy, asking the questions. It's interesting to hear how it landed with you guys, but fantasy is something that's not real.
Oh, like, oh, go on. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, but there is creative power there, and if we're putting our energy into a fantasy, you know, we're not building it on anything solid, so that it's going to collapse into itself. You know, so it's like an expectation is kind of the same thing. It's kind of like creating a fantasy of an expected reality that there's really no foundation on. I expect somebody else to take care of something, and then they don't do it. Mm. And then they were never going to do it, but you create an expectation around it, and then all of a sudden you did that to feel safe, so that when that expectation wasn't felt or didn't happen, then you had to feel your own fear and why you felt, you know, what you were trying to mask by creating the fantasy. And so that's when people get into these things about expectation. It pulls up anger, it pulls up all this stuff.
Well, the interesting thing about expectations, as far as I'm concerned, is actually calling in pain, right. And actually we're calling in growth.
So here's fantasy, and we're going to end on this because we're at 29 minutes. Number 38, fantasy. Now here, this is the test. This is the universe. This is the planet. You cannot escape the challenges of this reality. But you may utilize fantasy as a temporary salve. However, what is made in mind must come tumbling down. So, to what are you saying yes to? Are your hands in the dream of your life, or have you misplaced your will in a mirage? Listen to the heart and be transparent in your activity. Clarity is the playing field in which the play of life presents itself. Surrender the character roles of the shadow for an illumination of truth.
Nice.
There's fantasy. Nice. Anyway, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. It kind of turned into an advertisement for the River House, but
that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.